Franklin. Where was that now?
We're talking about Holdman.
Captain Holdman.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he got a call sign. Give him a call sign to start with Bulldog, that fit him deep. But he was a very intelligent man. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, you could talk to him, and he said we saluted him, you know, so he didn't get in trouble. And respect him to no end. But he said, you know, otherwise you don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
And he took over that company. And every time they had a meeting, they called for him. And when they wanted artillery, he got it. He was, see, that's what Colonel Alger should have stayed back.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it done any good anyhow. But the Germans had us, I'm going back down. They was, Ben, old Rommel had been out this for a long time. And he was in North Africa. And he's no dummy. When we got in the Catherine Pass, just going back, they had these Mach 6s that shoot through us. Well, they, in that city group, they had the Catherine Pass. There's any tank dummy in. And the Stuka dive bombers had a field day. Then the Mach 6s come around, the pincher movement, they called it, come in from the rear. We didn't have much left. But anyway, when this Captain Holdman took over, I don't know, we didn't hear much about the battalion commander, but and how he got it be in the service. Him and another guy got caught stealing Maytag washing machine motors off the back porches in Texas. So it sounded a lot better to be a male go to the military than go to the reform school. That's what he said. But he was a really, really a smart man. When the last I left over there, you know, I happened to run into him. And he was in headquarters. What are you up to? Well, he said, I'm getting tired of listening to you up here. But he moved in. Finally, the last, they put him up in intelligence. That's where he should have been. He said, them Germans get scared just like you or I do. And he said, anytime you're in doubt, you have to come to you. So the ammunition don't no good, burning up. Well, this battalion manager never ever give him credit. But finally, you know, the word got and he got up to headquarters. And we was one time, and I don't know, the Germans were retreating so fast and we couldn't catch up. And we had a pipe. We didn't have no observers at Hill. But later on, we got these Piper Cubs. And they dropped a note, put it on something. And so finally, he just said, well, we could see if there was a wheat field. And we could see a head out in there. And there's an old kid come down the hill, motorcycle, I don't know, I think he wanted to give up. He took everything he's had and took your motorcycle and left him Anyway, Captain Holdman gave orders. He said, spread out 50-yard interval and open up whatever. And we just mowed that wheat field. I would go right up with my nose and an anti-tank gun. I said, Jesus Christ, he didn't even scare me to death. You know, he's seen it, the tank commander did, but he didn't. And before we took the town, nobody got hurt, no nothing. Fired 30-some thousand rounds of 30 caliber, and Captain Holden got chewed out. Then, I'm back to headquarters, that's the way to do it. Didn't give him no credit. So he was, but he saved a lot of lives. He was up at headquarters, and Them SS troops are tough. You know, they were the crack soldiers of the general. And I'm telling you, by golly, they were clever to me. One time the infantry was coming up in this place, mountain at night, didn't know it. They fell right in with our troops.
Wow.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Hell, they're walking along there, and this sergeant got all his guards posted and everything, you know, for the night. And he said, well, something to one, and he said, y'all. That German, that sergeant just said, I'd cut that old Tommy loose. German, see? And he'd come in there, look around, and slip out in the dark. They were guts. Them SS troops.
Okay.
And, anyway, we was the last when I was in the service. We got up in the mountains. I can't say the name of them. It was right up next to part of the Elk Mountain. And winter set in, and then the Germans pretty rough there for a while. Because I know the infantry and them, it was pretty soon they just kind of slacked off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they was getting ready for that Normandy. And the Germans pulled the SS troops out. And he was in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Pouring a lot of them poor infantry guys out there in the mud and smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And when did they leave? Oh, probably 10 days. I don't know how long they relieved us. And we went down to the lake. And we're been amphibious, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'd go to Rome and take a break. And we wasn't but the poor infantry guys. See, we had to pull guard every night, and we had wire right through the tank. That was where this girl, you want me to tell you about that? Little Italian girl tried to, well, they moved them out of there pretty wide away when I start.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted a pair of my combat boots. Well, I should have given them to her. I had an extra pair. And I said, too big, you know, put socks on. But they come and take them out of there, and we had a good dry place to sleep and everything. But a lot of them empty. And then you'd have to make contacts and everything. And then about like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And one time they got out of this little place and the Italians seen them. Old Americano, they came. Didn't believe it. Americano, Americano. And boy, we said we had to get out of there because just out on patrol.
Mm-hmm.
But I was looking off in the Po Valley. That was the end of mine. And that was nice. Damn it, I'm going to leave it out some. I can't. I was thinking of it tonight.
1944?
All these dates, that's, see, you got the Angel Beach head on there.
Mm-hmm.
The Germans, and we spent a winter right there. See, there's, supplies come in at the Angel Beach head.
Mm-hmm.
They brought them up, they load the trucks in Maples, I think it was, and drive right up there and unload them, gasoline and everything. And these tanks, soldiers shoved it out so they could put them in here and shell come over and couldn't hit the fuel or gasoline. And see, we were segregated. Can you say that word?
Segregated?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The black, the negro, not with the whites.
Mm-hmm.
And they had overshoes and we didn't. We called them, I shouldn't say this. We called them Elmore boys, Roosevelt's wives. And they had overshoes, and we didn't. They were driving trucks, and we were out in the mud. But anyway, They let us, we go down to this place, and then we, and they were Englishmen,
mm-hmm.
and they was a bunch that come all the way from all the way up, oh God, all the way up that coast, way back when. And we just stayed there till we go to town. And we'd go to, we'd go to the kitchen and get grapefruit juice. The English went bring the London Dry Gin. So in the meantime, we didn't much give a damn. I told the trucker, I said, no, there's one legged guy out here, the wheelbarrow wants to pass it. Speed this thing up a little if you could. Anyway, we went in there, and one guy that was a tank commander had then, and well, he said, take my pass. I said, I'm going every day that truck goes. So I got a pass thing. And I did. I got away with it, but that's all it was. So we stayed, so we'd go to Rome. Give us a break, see. 10 days, oh, wasn't that long. Anyway, we were supposed to make them tanks float down there with this amphibious for the plane, hangars and everything, the Italians had. And we'd dry run and dry run and dry run. And the sergeant, you know, I said, I'm going every day the truck goes, you know, they give me his pass. I said, oh, you better go when it goes. Because they wasn't going to do anything about it anyhow. But anyway, we finally got that tank and we put struts up. They had them all made, you know, and we had all this stuff up. Then we drove her in the water, and that's one part I didn't like. I couldn't swim. I got down there and we came up pretty close like that. And I got out and set the throttle and everything. They had somebody that kind of maneuvered a little bit. Made one circle and just about to got the land, while I got down in there and put her in the lower gear and poured the coal to her and hit the sand and come on out. That is the one time, only one time we did it. But I didn't care much for that, and it was just, what for?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just so we could have a place, and they fed us good and everything, and we got along good with them.
Okay.
Well, before you start that, I want to show you something. And found out them tanks didn't work too good in snow.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to shovel in the banks and the ground wasn't really frozen. But so they could get traction.
Mm-hmm.
And probably had the traffic jam, everything. Everybody seemed to end up at the wrong time. Timing was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't believe I was through all this stuff.
I can't imagine.
One time we went over to help an infantry outfit back them up. Is it all right to back up?
Sure, yeah.
And 88th Infantry, I remember. And I don't know why, you know, a lot of men were killed unnecessarily. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's part of war, because it isn't fun. And like them buried in, you know, crowds or down there in somebody's backyard or something. Their mother's own family never know where they were at, you know. Coming out in that book to kill us and wander. But you just can't believe, if you look at this, how and I don't know, then Germans, a lot of them didn't abide by the rules, armistice agreement, you know, like shell in that hospital.
Yeah.
That wasn't that, and that's the reason it was out in the open, so they could see that big red cross on them. Then.
Could I ask you what part about the war left the biggest impact on you? A certain situation or something you saw, something that left a big impact?
Well, you know, one woman broke out of Anvil Beach and went to Rome.
Mm-hmm.
The Germans thought they had us, you know, they was all winners long. Well, they played good music to us. Yeah, they played our music. I'm glad that we turned the radios on. One had radios, some of us made radios. Oh, but they thought they had us, but boy, we broke out of there, I'll tell you. And the goddamn backup. If they'd have done what they're supposed to have done, we were supposed to go around there and cut them off.
Mm-hmm.
When they made the invasion of Vanville Beach there. They never, if they would have had to do what they wanted to, they could have, you know, saved a lot. They saved a lot. Because they was, you can't believe the number of soldiers that died. You just can't believe it. I had them marked on another book. I just can't believe it. Like 80,000. There's some of the sites.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I see it. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, they, then we went over to back this outfit up. The 88th Infantry, and, I took it on my own. One time then we had officers from a trucking outfit come in.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know nothing. And the old Captain Holman said, well, told them to listen to us. And I had one that was pretty good. I called him Cinnamon Head, but I don't know why. He always smoked cigars, didn't mean cigars. But we went over there, you know, and with some trees, and we always used camouflage. And I pulled up there, and said, all of a sudden, I could see the driver, see, and I said, I don't like this. I gripped the tank in reverse. Just then, the Germans was lined up side of them, cut the tree off. I was another bit of luck. But I was lucky, it just, it's unbelievable. But,
so Italy is where you were when the war, you heard it was
yeah.
over?
Well, and then, and this happened, this entry out there, you know, I felt that somewhere, also somebody wasn't doing their job, because they had, it was just, I call it stupidity, I don't know what else. There was grain seed, and there was shocks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these Germans just made these shocks back down, set a tent, gun tent,
mm-hmm.
then put it back on, then they wait till the infantry get out in the middle of that and then open up. Well, we got there with our guns, and oh, we just started blowing them shocks here and right and left. Here comes the white flag, see? But they, I felt there was a lot of soldiers killed that shouldn't have been. Should have had better, I don't know. And they had anti-tank guns, but we always went back up empty, you know, and that's the place to come in. And of course the Germans were after that, and they started just giving up white flag right and left.
Was it difficult to leave your friends, the friends you made when
oh,
it was
yeah.
time to come home?
Yes, it was.
What was that like?
I don't know. You know, this one sergeant, well, he got killed. But he done me a lot of good. One time there was an officer made lieutenant, field something I called it, promotion. And I don't know what, he lost his nerve. One time he was going to go to the Anvil Beach and went up there. I had to have something to do. So I had to take his place as tank commander. And this other sergeant, I don't know how he ever, you know, just, I told him. Anyway, I was in, he was ahead of me a few times. And went up there, the railroad. Well, the ground was bulging. Italy was, it said sunny Italy, but it was just, in the wintertime, couldn't get off the road. We lost two tanks. It was One kid run down the road and had a sub-com in his hand and dropped that. He said, I thought I was going to step on a landmine. I picked that foot up too. Then we tormented him. He's going to have to pay for that sub-com. But he got out of there, and I don't know how many lost in the tank. And there was one tank and I was in command, and this kid was my sister driving, took over driving scene. And I'd stop him, and there was trees. And there was fire coming out over there. I'd see it. I just pour in the into it just fast. That kid would jump shells in that gun. 75, you know. And what are you, and the other was calling, what are you firing at? I said, I don't know, but there's fire coming out of the house over here. That other guy didn't do nothing. And finally I backed up, and this kid says, you'd let me go. I'd get out of here a lot quicker. We backed and come around here, and here was a guy laying on a stretcher. And he was alive, and I don't... Anyway, he was afraid that I was going back home. Thought I didn't see him, but I did. And he kind of raised up my heart at him. I said, don't worry, I know you're bad. See, I landed on that railroad, and he just... Like buggy tires, you know, just rolled up. But, there was another time I had to think. But he, I don't know what happened. Anyhow, I took my gun to ordnance, thank the ordnance one day to get the gun worked on and come back. They were digging it. We dug in, and the officer, he had to stay alone. He didn't want to slide in. I don't know where we just stuff comes from, Motherwood. And it was sand. That's where the hospital could have been, but it couldn't have had to cross there. Anyway, so what the heck goes on here? And he said, well, you'll be digging here in the morning. I went and seen the Sergeant Hammer, and I said, say, you know what the old man said? Your home is a castle? He went to Captain Holman. I wasn't digging there in the morning. So he didn't last too long. Old man transferred him out somewhere.
Wow.
That's just Captain Holman. I'll tell you what, he was a good man. He didn't back off, but he wasn't stupid. Didn't take chances. He didn't have to.
Okay. Could I ask you, when you got back to Montana after you'd served, what was the first thing you did when you returned home?
Well, I'll tell you what, when we come back from Italy, we landed at Boston, and we got on a train, headed for Salt Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we hadn't seen too many American girls in about three and a half years.
Mm-hmm.
I slept out for about 3.5 years on the ground. My kids should have went camping with them, but I said I didn't know my camping I ever wanted to do, you know. But anyway, the 34th Infantry was a tough outfit, I'll tell you. I think it was part jumped or something. They made them walk all the time. We hauled them one place there, going into Rome. But there's guys who were whistling, hauling at the girls, you know, and there wasn't no dirty language, anything like that. And there's one civilian, Duncan. He didn't like it. He said, something. And, when I bring them over, they said, well, you can't do this and that, and you know, bring back. I had a gun that, if I didn't know it, I would have brought it home. I brought it home for a friend, I should have kept it. Sent it, and he never got home. But anyway, they were whistling the girl, this and that, and so the conductor didn't like it. And he said something to that officer, and the officer said, just let them blow off a little bit of steam. He said, they deserve it. And he said, let me tell you, they'll pull you through that door and they won't open it. Can you blame them? That long, we know a lot of them, you know, but them, well, them infantry had a rough. And we did too, but they didn't have to you know, walk and be out in the mud and the rain. We had a good tarp that we could size the tank and pull over, you know, get better protection from the weather. But not them extra guys. God, I don't know.
How did your family react to seeing you back home?
Oh, they're tickled pink. You know, I never dreamed that I'd ever. I would have bet you that I'd never seen this side of the pond. But I was very fortunate.
Wow.
A lot of times it just blew up and that's what it left of.
Would you do this again? Would you serve again?
Well, you know, I shouldn't. I got mixed feelings. I got mixed feelings. I'm not no smart guy, but I think he did it backwards. Bush.
He did.
He should have got these people all on his side before he went in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've been over there. He wanted to make a name for himself. You know, these generals, if you read these books, a lot of them, they wanted to get a name for themselves. They sacrificed a lot of lives just to get in there and make a name for themselves. So, I think that, I don't know, I think in time in history, it'll prove that wasn't the smartest man in the world. There's been a lot, you know, a lot of controversy and it was right or wrong, because he grew up never wanting for a dime. And he had anything he wanted. When they brought this out about, you know, when his dad was president, all he had to do was show up at a certain place. He didn't have to stay there, be around. Grab a plane, go flying, fly here and there. Just so he was at a certain place at a certain time, you know. So there's some mixed feelings. But we're not losing the men like we did in World War II. Well, this is just dropping the bucket. We on the other Pacific over there. There's a guy I'll be in this afternoon. But got a friend with him. And he was 1 year younger than me and went out at the same time. And I just got acquainted with him just a couple of years ago.
Okay, yes.
And he was in there, didn't hear, he was an old cowboy. But they didn't, you know, that's where they ended up. I don't know how they asked me if I worked on machinery and this and that, and my dad. So that's the reason I ended up in the tank. I said, it sure beats walking.
So how do you feel about how Hollywood portrays the war? Movies and...
Hollywood?
Yeah. What do you think of what they've done with the war?
Well, some is good and bad, you know. Some is good and bad. Who would you name somebody in show business that...
That's been in a...
Well, put on a movie of it.
Put on? I don't mean I can't name actors.
You can.
John Wayne played Patton?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was pretty funny. I didn't see that.
No, me either.
You know, a lot of this on the History Channel.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. A lot of that I don't care to see. And a lot of this I have to read back, you know, the parts that I didn't even know about.
Mm-hmm.
Like that one was down there at Oran. Well, I didn't know it was that big a port. And that's where we landed there, and we had to fight for that. Fight the Frenchmen. On Africa. Not a small portion, but, and we had already sent light tanks over there before. I didn't know that before. The big force went left to Maine. But that's the way it was. I don't know why they send it to Ireland and England. Somewhere getting explosive, they get the mount. You know, you cannot believe the amount of equipment and supplies it takes an army for a day. You cannot imagine. A lot of stuff was put there and they couldn't use, couldn't get to, rotted, you know, and it was hard on civilians. I don't care who the Italians. We, now, there's one, I read one part in there where killing these civilians. I don't like that. You know, they were innocent people, wrong place, wrong time. But they may have stripped our soldiers bare, frozen them. And I can see why a lot of them extra guys just shot them. Come on. But, you know, it's, how do you, what do, you know? You see a, maybe rather stripping your friend or something, you know? Because they're right in the middle of it. You can, I don't know, I think I'd shoot them too, but I couldn't shoot an innocent woman or kid or something like that. I couldn't do it. They, somebody, they just buried in barnyards. They didn't know a place, you know, it was easy digging. Didn't have backhoes and stuff like that. And a lot of them will never know where they were, where the remains are at. Families, you know. Like I come home, a lot of them come home. We had that one on the Angel Beach, and God, you couldn't believe the soldiers are buried there. You know, rows and rows of them. This one guy in my crew, his brother was a priest. He used to stop by once in a while and visit with him. And he was telling about to come by there, and this nigga was a digging grave. And fire alarm went off. Fire raid. And boy, he just left that trench and run away over to another foxhole and jumped in. He said, I waited till the guy comes back. He said, why did you leave this one? You had it deeper than the other one. Went over there. He said, I ain't taking no dead man's place. They're kind of superstitious. Okay. There and I am kind of the end of the road. I hope I didn't let her down. You say, I will get a copy of this. I got to come home. They have this rotary deal. And then this other one, I can't say what they called it, but you come home, and then you went back. And but I waited another month, I could come home and stay. But we were looking into the Bow Valley, when the weather from in. I had a bad feeling. And there was very few of the originals. And then mostly inmates. They said, you were number one. Why are you gonna, why don't you take, wait next month? I said, next month I may not be here. So I come home. And I was home, oh, I was raising hell, I was going to party and I don't know why your dad let me use the car, I don't know that he did. But anyway, because I knew I was headed back. And I got a 30-day furlough, and somehow I got a 14-day extension. Well, about that time, we started the point system. A on Demon Alley, when they put that out and put the numbers out, I, after darn many points, I was sent back to Salt Lake, but I had to go report back to you. And I was around there a week or something, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, what do you want to do? And real ish to leave. And I said, I believe I'll just leave. So they paid me way back and everything. And I wrote these guys back there, and I said, well, you call me a fool if you want to. You call me Mr. You know, just like that sergeant, he never got home. And he had big plans, you know, and I was just mad. But I had the same funny feeling. He had a funny feeling. He was crying on my shoulders. And I sympathized with him. And then it's funny how simple brothers and just like that, and they never made it. So they said, you're a damn boy. I said, I don't care what you call me. So I come home, and I don't know. You know, we didn't have no, a council.
No council?
No. No nothing. You just out. Give you a discharge and so much pay for a month, and that's it.
You think you could have benefited from some counseling afterwards?
Well, I think it would have helped. You know, I just couldn't settle down. Mm-hmm. I had opportunities, but I wished I'd have had later. I said, so I know Ranch, this guy said, well, I'm too old, all you got to do is just take it over, you know. But brain wasn't working or something anymore. But I don't know how I married one woman.
Yeah.
We were 50-some years together. And I was working for a drilling outfit, diamond drilling outfit, in the Big Horn Canyon.
Mm.
And I went down to Utah, I went to dance.
Mm.
And that's where I found her. And she had heart trouble.
Mm.
She grew up terrible poor in the mining town. There was no such thing as any kind of help, you know, in a large family. They didn't have the right kind of groceries or whatever, you know, nourishment. And she wasn't a really strong woman. But a wonderful person. He said, once you go there on the place, and that's where it was. We had 50-some years together. Yeah, there can't think of anything else. You want this blouse for anything?
Yeah.